grass, ganja, joint, doobie, doo, chronic, ace, lobo, loco, loveboat, bud, Buddha, blunt, pot, pat, pin, chiba, chiba, 420, and hashish, or hash for short. It's all marijuana.
This is Marijuana Media.
Come in.
That's right, an impromptu Marijuana Media because old mate Paddy Gower's in the house. G'day, mate. What's going on?
Oh, I love that intro. I can't believe I'm on Marijuana Media. I heard that you had that slot, but I thought they would be at 4:20. What time is it now?
Well, you're late.
4:25.
I didn't want to bring it up.
Yeah.
No, normally you do this on Thursday with old mate Chris Fowley. Sure, you know the name.
Oh, bro, I know him. Yeah, I know him well. I hope he'll be watching tonight. I'm sure he will be.
In fact, if
every fucking stoner in the country isn't watching tonight, I'm going to be really fucked off.
What time? Of course, you are in here because big news, big day for you. Your documentary is airing tonight.
Yeah, and I do want to apologise. Actually, if we're on Marijuana Media, this is the right place for me to be, because you know there are some disappointments when you make a documentary and you work so hard, and for me not being able to screen it at 4:20 would have been the right time, either AM or PM. You know, and I do want to apologise to everybody who's listening. I'm sorry, it's at 8:30.
I'm sure people.
That's my one regret.
It's still late evening. That works out quite well, actually, for a lot of people.
Now, Paddy, for those of us that haven't been exposed to the hype campaign on the build-up to the documentary screening, can you just give me a quick synopsis of the whole sort of doco and, what led you to do it and what is it about?
Yeah, well, it's probably the worst explanation to begin how this doco came about, but Paul Henry was meant to do it. It was meant to be called Paul Henry the High Road.
I can see that.
It was going to be Paul Henry the High Road, and he sailed off on a boat somewhere or something and told MediaWorks where to go.
He did it for real.
Yeah. And so Paul Henry bailed, right? And then they were looking for someone to do it, and they came to me with the idea. But, you know, I was into it straight away because I just think, you know, it's the best thing to do a documentary on. We've got the vote coming up next year, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, we've got medical kind of coming in. We're kind of on the cusp of that. Around the world, it's all changing. And, you know, I soon really kind of got into it. Like, I'm a guy, you know, I love drinking beers, you know, having one now with you guys, which is awesome. But, you know, I'm not a stoner or anything like that. So my knowledge was actually really limited. But, you know, what a wicked thing to do a doco on. And I was saying to someone the other day, you know, even the plant is awesome to film.
Just to
look at it,
yeah, it's
right?
Yeah.
You know, like, and I never thought of all these things. Yeah. Just filming the plant everywhere we went. And, I mean, we saw so much marijuana being grown. It is not funny. You know, we've been to the biggest grow rooms in the States and in Canada, as well as all the grow rooms around New Zealand, which, you know, aren't that big. But they do fit quite nicely in the corner of Skyline Garages.
There's something very strange about the plant when you see it in person. It's got a strange aura. It just looks so much different to anything else.
I'm a firm believer of, like, to get the sort of the greys on board, which is what we kind of need to do. I feel like there should be a campaign of really good growers cruising around with the bud and going, look at this fucking plant.
Yeah.
Like, because we love our gardens, right? Especially the oldies.
That's right.
They love growing it. It's a beautiful plant to grow. It smells
baby
fantastic.
Boomers will love growing this shit, you know, as soon as they get into it, you know, like, and that's the thing. And I know we're kind of joking
about it, but I'm
not either, because once a baby boomer, and there's lots of them that start using a balm on their arthritis or they start having cancer or whatever, they get into it pretty quick.
Becomes a lot more real.
Yeah. And then, you know, it's not that much of a step. I know this is a sort of random way you're doing this big major documentary and we're starting out talking about baby boomers growing weed, but it's not that much more of a step for them to grow some, and they are great in their gardens, our baby boomers. They're good with their roses, they're good with their rhododendrons, and they will love looking at, like me, like looking at trichomes after a little while. You know, you can't take your eye away from the things. They're so beautiful. It's like little bits of frost. You know, people go around taking photos, you know, there's a frost in the South Island, everyone takes a photo of the frost and everything. With the marijuana plant, you've got that every day if you look
powerful,
close enough, you know, if you've got a magnifying glass.
If you're
beautiful.
In a room with a lot of ripping plants, there's something about it. It's electric, right?
Oh, it is electric.
You feel the aliveness of the area. It's something crazy about it.
Yeah, I remember when we started the documentary, and you'll meet him tonight, Gandalf, he's a grower up north, and he was the first, he's the first guy in the documentary, and that's awesome because he was the first guy we went to see. And I remember he just went kaboom, let us into this greenhouse that he had that had heaps of weed in it. And I was so excited to see it. And, you know, I was like, oh, we've got to film it. You know, people don't see this very often. And, you know, and then by the end of it, we'd seen so much. But that's still that first feeling of actually seeing a really, you know, it's the first time in my life I've seen a big grow. Yeah, yeah. You know, it was, you know, because I'd never seen one before. I'd seen the odd plant here and there, but yeah. I'd never seen a big grow with humongous proper plants. And it is a sight to behold.
Yeah.
You know, it is a sight to absolutely behold. I love looking at the stuff. I love smelling the stuff now. It's awesome.
Somebody's saying greys, old people or aliens?
Both.
Now, Paddy, what do you reckon the mood in New Zealand? I think globally everyone is yes. You know, you look overseas and people go, yep,
it's getting embarrassing for us, to be honest.
Yeah.
It's getting embarrassing.
Yeah, like I was, you know, it was really hard for me doing the documentary because as soon as I started it, I was like, right, I can't say anything about cannabis until the documentary's out.
Right.
So I've been like really sitting on the sidelines, and as you know, I'm watching the media, I'm in it, and I'm seeing people say all this stuff, and I'm watching the way that the debate's going. And, you know, I was getting really angsty and, you know, annoyed at some of the disinformation that I was seeing out there, you know, by the likes of Mike Hosking, by the likes of Duncan Garner, by the likes of Paula Bennett and Simon Bridges, you know, and it was getting really annoying. And that's why I'm so glad to get the documentary out there now and people can see another side. I mean, I'm not pro, I'm still not pro, you know, and I talk positively about it. But what I am pro is after 20 years as a journalist is having a proper debate in this country.
Yep.
Like a debate is not Duncan Garner yelling. A debate is not Mike Hosking yelling. A debate is not Paula Bennett yelling.
Are you pro decriminalisation?
Mate, it's decriminalised now. You know, like, technically, yeah, the cops, it's, okay, I agree with you, it's supposedly decriminalised.
Yeah, no, I know, yeah. It's all up to the police person on the day, which gives me the shits too.
I know, and, you know, it's so bizarre, it's like, you know, when you're up here, when was the last time anyone ever got arrested smoking weed up here? Yeah. You know, like, I would love for someone out there to be listening and say, look, in 1967 I got arrested for cannabis, because it'd be cool to talk to them, because no one got arrested for cannabis at university, no one in living memory nearly has been arrested up here, right? But you go to the East Coast and there's heaps of people who've been arrested for it, and they haven't been doing it to have fun at uni, they've been doing it to put Kai on the table.
Often disproportionately.
Way disproportionately, right? Yeah. So, you know, you ask me, am I in favour of decriminalisation? Yes. Yeah. And I think everybody needs to say, well, if we vote no, and Jacinda Ardern needs to tell us this, Simon Bridges needs to tell us this, if New Zealand goes no next year at next year's election, what are we going to do? Because are we just going to carry on like we are now, which is with weed available to everyone, it can get to kids. Actually, it's coming to people who
whatever
don't
care.
Whatever quality, whatever age you are, and one day you're going to go to that person and say, can I get some weed? And he's going to say, do you want some pee too? Or I've got no weed and you can have some pee, or you can have some cinnies. You know, what's with that system? Meanwhile, we're spending $200 million prosecuting people when it's supposedly decriminalised. You'll see in the documentary tonight, cops spraying weed and they actually take out a Green Fairy's entire crop, so they leave 1,000 people suffering.
Wow.
So, you know, if you're not saying there's still not a cost there in doing that, and all the time we could be saving that money, taking the taxes and maybe dealing with synthetics and pee in a better way, you know, so that's the question that people who vote no need to ask themselves. You know, what are we actually going to do then? And none of them are saying that. I haven't seen Paula Bennett tell us what she'll do.
I think the likes of like high-profile people like yourself getting involved is definitely going to help. So I think everybody really appreciates it. And hopefully a lot of people watch your documentary. How long is it? What's the
So it's 2 1-hours. Tonight, okay, cool. Tonight's one's on medical, okay?
Yeah.
And then next week we get into recreational. And where I think, you know, this debate's going in New Zealand, you know, in the States, pretty much everywhere that's gone medical eventually goes over to recreational, right?
A soft opening.
Yeah, a soft opening. Mm. And where New Zealand's going to be different is we've got medical now, but we still don't know what the rules are going to be. We don't know who's going to have access. We don't know if they've got to go to their doctor, their specialist. We don't know what's going to happen. That's going to come in sometime next year. And there's not going to be that big run-up of medical to the referendum.
Right.
So if you look in the States, somewhere goes medical, okay, and then they have some time with it, and, you know, old Ma and old Pa, they go down and get it, and then they eventually get annoyed at having to go through their doctor. you know, they just want to buy it over the counter, like you get Voltaren. You don't have to go to your doctor to get Voltaren if you've got a sore back, you know. And so people eventually are like, you know, let it in. And we're not going to quite have that run-up, because I reckon if the referendum was 2-3 years after medical came in, slam dunk, I can tell you that. Right, that's what the world shows us.
We've really got a lot of talking to do between now and the next election.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And some people's conditioning will take a bit longer than talking is the thing, you know. Yeah, but I think there's more of a groundswell out there. It seems like things are against it right now. It feels like that if you look at the media. But I think, you know, amongst millennials and the progressives and just people who are linked to this thing, maybe even through medical, and just know that it needs to be bigger than it is, there's going to be a groundswell there. And I think if the baby boomers and Hosking and Garner and Bennett think they've got this one, they haven't.
Right. I can't believe Garner is sitting on
the opposite. John's like, just upset about Garner.
Yeah, yeah.
But
I know Duncan. I know Duncan really well. He's a mate of mine, right?
Yeah.
And I think he'll come back around. You know, like, I reckon he'll watch my doco and he'll be like, "How do I get a new position?"
Right,
I know him. I know him, and I hope he's listening, because I think we're going to bring Garner around. Right, we're not going to bring Hosking around. We're not going to bring Bennett around.
Well, hopefully that's the baseline. You've got to start somewhere. Start 1% at a time, really.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you're gonna let's say to someone who's out there talking to their friends, talking to their family, maybe trying to persuade them. What sort of cornerstones of their argument would you give them for walking away to a mate and saying, "Hey, this is why I think we should
Great
vote
question,
yes.
John. How do we become weaponized today?
Yeah, yeah. So this is how do you weaponize? And because I've been watching this debate, and I think the best way to weaponize this thing is. If you can't argue that, you know, getting greater access to medical, you know, saving things for people, that's going to be too much for them. You know that your average sort of white person isn't really going to care about institutional racism. That sort of seems like a far off kind of woke thing. So you don't want to go there. This is where you go. This is how I weaponize
intellectually
you.
Intellectually arm yourself.
Yeah, intellectually arm yourself. Take the income stream away from the gangs.
Yeah, okay.
Why are we effectively subsidising an entire income stream for gangs that we take no tax off?
Right.
Take the money off the gangs. Take the whole access to young people away from the gangs, because they come to the gangs somehow for weed. They're not too far away from it. It's the criminal underworld. They give the pee. They give the synthetics. Take all of that out of it. Okay, and tax the stuff as well. Okay, so and
speak
then
to them in cash.
Yeah, so yeah, no, speak to them in cash and speak to them about gangs. Perfect. And I know we're kind of joking about it as well, but you know, if people want to win this thing, don't try and win it on you know, win it properly. Actually, go up there and weaponize is a good term. You know, this is not a time to kind of sit back, because if you guys don't weaponize, they will. They already have.
Yeah.
You know, we've seen that. So you know, get out there. You know,
before
you know, so stoners, weed lovers, you know, get hard. Take these guys on.
Yeah.
You know, take these guys on. You know, yeah. You know, they're not that hard. It's not that hard to beat up Garner. It's not that hard to beat up on Bennett. You know, don't just sit there and take all the punches. Is this a good pep talk?
Yes.
Yeah. Get up. Fired up.
We need it.
Now, Paddy, someone's just going, 8:30, what channel?
Oh, geez. Okay, this is the problem you run up against with stoners. You know, it's going to be like 2020, you know, 2020, where do we vote? Is it yes or no? Do we tick yes or no? This is the worry, you know, this is the huge concern.
The voting should just be you walk in and there's a dot
that
you tick. You have the dot or you don't, and then that's it.
Yeah, no, this is a huge, no, it's 8:30 tonight on 3, whoever that is.
Channel 3.
Someone's also asking, I've seen Duncan Garner at Inc. offers Nana.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Leave that right behind. Apparently, someone's saying the only thing stopping is the alcohol industry.
I don't know. I mean,
no,
doesn't Corona?
The alcohol industry is investing in it, so
yeah, man.
They see it coming as well.
I'll tell you who's getting into it. It's big alcohol, big tobacco, and big pharma.
Pharma, of course.
Right, they're all there. They know what's going on. Yeah. They know what's going on. You know, it's the old thing, follow the money, and they're all into it as well.
Hopefully, when it all gets set up. It gets set up in a way that the little guy that's just trying to do some rad stuff is taken care of, and it's not big pharma.
I just have to call you out on this because, you know, there's not going to be a happy story for the little guy in this. Yep. You know, and that's one of the sad things. You know, we're over in the States, right? We got a place called Black Star, B-L-A-Q Star, right? Underground growers who've gone straight, you know, and they're still in their old labyrinth where people used to come jumping in through the roof and rob them and hold guns to their heads and stuff like that. African-American guys. 95% of the industry in California is controlled by white men. These guys are one of the few companies that are out there, and people will see this in the documentary. It's heartbreaking, in my opinion, especially when you think about Māori back here, to see these guys battling after they are the ones that have done the time. Mm. They are the ones that have been persecuted while it was illegal, and then they can't get a leg up into the industry. And the same thing, I'm sorry to say, is going to happen here. And that's where... There's no way around it. It's, you know...
Big business always ends up getting to the top.
I mean, I'll tell you what, you know, like, where's the plan from the government to keep international companies out of this, to at least give Kiwi white guys a go to take control of it? you know what I mean? I'm kind of joking. It's like, where's the plan to even give us a bit of time that it's only our own weed before the cheap Canadian stuff comes in or the cheap American stuff comes in? And I'll tell you the other thing. These Canadian companies and American companies, they're trying to grow in Mexico, they're trying to grow in India, and you know, that this thing, we can see where this is going.
Well, I hope we get it to a point where people are enthused about the plant. Like, say, it's beautiful, they end up growing it yourself, you know, like...
Yeah,
well, hopefully, because we've got a beautiful sun here, chuck it out the back there with that big old hole in the ozone, great for the produce.
And I'll tell you something else that we connoisseurs will find interesting that we found out. Outdoor-grown weed, man, is just not wanted in the States, right?
Right.
It is indoor, mass growing. That's where they can get the right strength.
So
that's where they can get
the
high. So that's where they can get the flavors in there. You know, the orange and the mango, which is all trendy while I'm there. It'll be something else already.
But natural New Zealand weed, that's a great market.
Yeah,
right,
but I think that's another myth as well. You know, like, because we talked a lot about this over there.
I smoke weed on regular, Patrick. I'll tell you this right now.
Yeah, I don't believe that.
And I find a good outdoor is a fucking good time.
Yeah. Really good time. So this is what these money-making dudes, you know, who are into the big marketing were telling us, is a lot of stoners think that, a lot of stoners say that, but once it comes in, they like cheap, strong, time and time again,
there's
consistent, which comes from indoor. There's nothing cheaper than growing it yourself. Yeah, there's nothing cheaper than growing it yourself. I think, I'll back you. Believe your own fairy tales and hush yourself to sleep that there's going to be this beautiful world.
I will, my fucking homegrown weed.
Yeah.
Patrick Garra on weed, going down tonight at 8:30, and then again, the second half is the next week.
Yeah, the next week, one week later. Yeah. So, yep, you know,
right on.
So
hey, thanks for all the mahi, bro.
Oh, nah, thanks for having me here. Thanks for the beer.
What's next? What's next?
Man, I hope that this thing goes well because I want to make another documentary. Mm. You know, I'm pretty open about that. And, you know, I don't want to say what it's going to be on. But,
Patrick Garra on mushrooms.
Yeah, Patrick Garra on...
Psilocybin.
It was on acid. But,
actually, both of those are right down the bottom of Helen Clark's list. Did you ever look at that?
In Colorado, mushrooms, there's a big push to make them legal.
It's fucking beautiful thing.
Yeah,
it's a beautiful
thing, man. So maybe that is the next one.
I spent some time living in Colorado 10 years ago. Mushrooms were everywhere in Colorado 10 years ago, so I can only imagine what the scene is like.
We're drifting, guys.
Well, hey, this is marijuana minute, or what?
Someone's shouting out your four shuckers from Chloe. Chloe's already had a sneak peek at
the only good review I've ever had from a politician, and what a time to get it.
Hey, cool, bro, thanks so much.
Yeah, cheers.
Sweet, mate.
Do it, man.
That was Marijuana Media.
I'm in love with me.